Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Ham Nation is provided by CashFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of Ham Nation is brought to you by ICOM. For more information, visit ICOMAmerica.com/HamNation and by DX Engineering. DX Engineering offers practically everything you need to outfit your shack, plus the fastest shipping in the industry. In-stock items ship the same day, Monday through Friday, until 10 p.m. Eastern. For more information, visit DXEngineering.com/HamNation.
This is Ham Nation, episode 281 for January 4th, 2017. Loop Antennas. Hi, and welcome to another episode of Ham Nation, the first one of 2017. I'm George, W5JDX. Bob Heil is not with us tonight. He's on the road, but I believe he'll be back with us next week. However, we do have the cast of usual suspects, Gordon West. Hi, Gordo.
Hey, hi, everyone. Happy New Year. Kids Day this Saturday. I want every one of you out there getting kids on the air. And then Sunday, those of you on the frozen New England area, the Limark, Long Island Amateur Radio Club, they're having the Ham Radio University. That's this coming Sunday. So Limark, have a great Ham U. Kids Day, kids have fun on Saturday. And back to you, George.
Okay, Gordo, that sounds like a lot of fun. Of course, we've got Don Wilbanks back with us tonight. And Don, you seem like you maybe have regained your voice.
No, I haven't. Not completely. In fact, I just had another little coughing fit. And so now I've got a little bit more hoarseness. It's one of those things that it's just kind of lingered and gone on and on and on. A lot like the WTWW signal at 5085 and 12.105. Some things you just can't stop, you know. Although the WTWW signal is a good thing, the fact that my voice is still hoarse is not a good thing. So hello to everybody listening on the shortwave tonight. George?
Okay. We'll be back with you shortly, Don. We've also got Dale with us tonight and some more great Ham Nation viewer videos. Hi, Dale.
Hey, George, good evening. We've got some videos I think you're going to enjoy tonight. We've got a 10-year-old amateur extra class operator on the set of Last Man Standing. And we've got one that's going to freeze you. Well, you're going to freeze. Nice video. Some people are crazy, but there's a thing called Winter Field Day coming up at the end of the month. We thought we'd give them a little heads up and let them let some people find out about it. They might want to operate that event. George, go ahead.
Yeah, I've been thinking about that event, Dale. I don't know if I'm going to make it or not. I guess it kind of depends on the weather here, which it was 75 yesterday. It's going to be down in the 20s at night. Later in the week, we may have some snow down here. That'd be well, a little unusual for us in this part of the state. I just want to mention, those of you who have a DMR radio, you can crank that up and be getting it warmed up, because there'll be a Ham Nation DMR in that tonight, a trial run to see how it goes. Andrew Kahn, WA8LIV, will be hosting that on TAC 311. So we'll try to mention that toward the end of the show. We'll see how that goes. That might be a weekly thing there. Well, Brian is not with us tonight, so Victor is TDing in the hot seat there at Twit. But Brian sent us some photos from, where was he, Vegas?
Yeah, he's Brian's over in covering CES for Twit over in Vegas this year. So he sent a few pictures. That's the most of him that he sent.
And just proven, that's enough.
Proven, you know, just to show off that he's at the convention. But he also wanted to send this because he's staying at Padre's parents' place. If you can.
That's young Padre?
The handsome dude in the bottom left.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow.
Padre.
So, yeah, when I asked him to send some pictures from CES, that's what he sent.
He cleans up pretty good.
Yeah.
Nice. Wow, that's great.
Yeah, Brian says hi.
Yeah. Well, hi, Brian.
Have fun.
A fun time. Yeah. And rub it in every chance you get. Must be a fun show. Well, Gordo, you got some short shots for us tonight?
I do. They are coming up. And again, Limark, have fun this Sunday at Ham Radio University. Tom Gallagher, CEO of the ARRL, is going to be there as a featured speaker as well. All right, let's get into the loop of things, a little play on words, and that's what we have behind me here. And Victor, if you'll go ahead and roll the shorts. Loop antennas are becoming the rage because they are independent of needing any special ground, and they go up quickly. Some are very exotic. This one out at Quartz Fest, and Quartz Fest, by the way, is just 2 weeks away. This particular loop is motor-driven, and boy, when it hits resonance, you know it. So homebrew loops are a great way to go. We've seen the loops almost everywhere outside ham radio booths because they need great reception, they need minimum noise, and the way that magnetic loops work is they work off of the H-plane, picking up the magnetic energy coming in, and they try and null out the E-plane of the electrical noise. So loops are nice and quiet. And we encourage you to consider all of the diagrams on how to build a loop. This loop, the tuning capacitor is up at the top in 6JF. Put this one together. It's got a vacuum variable up there at the top, and the tuning is accomplished by rotating the tuning capacitors. So loops are fun projects. But not everybody necessarily wants to go to all the trouble to put the loop together. We hope that you do. And Carl Lavoie says that he's got parts for a loop. But more important, the Chameleon Antenna Company has loops ready to go that go up in 5 minutes. So I challenged him. I said, okay, Carl, make this happen. In 5 minutes, get it together. So in our front lawn, he unboxes it. Very, very professional packing job. Carl is a ham, KI6TRA. All of the pieces are there for three different styles of loops. And the loops we were going to first be doing, the loop material is made out of LMR 400 coax. But the loops are actually shorted at both ends, so don't try and use this coax for feed line or something like that. And there is the coupler loop on the top with the tuning down on the bottom. That provides a good balance when you have it on a tripod, as we do here in this shack tonight. So minute three, he's putting it together. Those are the extensions from the tuning box up to the coupling loop. Barrel connection, and those two come together. And bingo, he's adding now one additional secret component that's going to give the loop capabilities of handling a little higher power. Certainly, QRP is a way to go, but Carl says you can run a little bit more on some of the loops as long as you use the right doodads to expand the power capabilities. The coupler loop goes on the top, held a little tie wraps, and the coupler loop hugs the main loop, and symmetry is critical. You got to make sure that they're absolutely lined up perfect, and you want to be sure that no one's transmitting when you do that. There it is, minute five. He is on the air from getting set up with the loop, and we're using a little 817 as our test transceiver. Had a tape recorder to record all the stuff. There's some of the extra parts. You got to have parts for more smaller loop ideas. So we go on the air. None of the energy comes back down the coax to grab us because he's got the ferrite chokes on the supplied lead in. And that provides plenty of isolation. And the tuning is so precise. Take a listen and you'll hear the tuning. Take a listen. So that's how critical the tuning is. It's a 6-to-1 ratio on his particular manufactured loop, and it smooth tuning from 10 meters all the way down to 40 on this particular loop. So tuning is a breeze. And in fact, you can even get remote tuning capabilities as well. We made several contacts. Generally, anybody that we could hear S5 or greater, they could hear us. This is the remote control, so for those of you in an HOA environment where you're not allowed an antenna, you can sneak it up in the attic, and with cat cable, you can go ahead and turn the loop as well as tune the loop. Pretty darn smart. But I said, you know, I got some stuff down on 5 megs. I worked with the U.S. Coast Guard and the auxiliary. He says, no problem. So he's got the high-power, bigger version of the loop. And this goes on a little different control box. And these two loop elements are aluminum. And I know you're going, but copper's a better conductor. Studies show that different wavelengths will penetrate deeper for skin effect, and that the difference is so minor that this gives much greater bandwidth and more radiated signal. The copper with the precise welds that we see here with Jim's loop is a great way to go. But the aluminum supplied by Chameleon is another fabulous way to go. And that's the tuning box that goes from 10 meters down to 40 meters in the B position, or flick the switch, and then the A position takes you all the way down to the bottom of the 60-meter band. And the tuning is not real precise by looking at the dial. You simply tune for maximum noise and then trim it up looking at the SWR meter. There's that coupler loop. Goes up at the tip top. The two loop elements are joined real well. Make sure it's nice and tight. And you will be on the air. Now, the loop on the left, you can barely see. That's the one I have behind me here at the shack. That one performed nearly as well as the much bigger loop on the right, but the one on the right went down to 5 megs. So if you're looking for something that's not going to be seen on the balcony, again, the dial looks snazzy, but you really tune for noise. You don't try and look where you are on the dial. But it's a good way to mark where you were. The A-B switch for getting down to 5 megs. And there's that proprietary, I think it's a capacitor that they add for additional power. The loop on the left, you run no more than about 15 watts. But the loop on the right, with that power compensator, you can run up to about 50 watts. So that gives you more snap when you're on the air, working stations when you're not necessarily QRP. And again, the little loop on the left made of coax, you barely see it. The one on the right really stands out. That'll be great for field day. So here we are doing some testing on the front lawn. And again, those stations that we could hear about S5 or greater, we could easily work. So we hope that this gets you interested in the Chameleon antenna products. And we certainly enjoyed working with Carl and making contacts with the loop. So now we are going to shift gears and go to a video that Bob was able to get from Fred Kemmerer, AB1OC, and he's with the Nasha Amateur Radio Club, call sign November 1 FD, or like field day. So let's go ahead and roll this video about how you, with a club, can get things going to get more kids in the ham radio. Remembering this Saturday is Kids Day. There we go. It's called Growing Ham Radio and How Your Ham Radio Club can help. And this was put together by the Nasha Amateur Radio Club. Certainly, classes. Look at that. Everybody's got a name tag. That is excellent. The class layout here is wonderful. So teaching ham radio, a lot of props in the background, as well as slides and PowerPoint. Everyone is well-dressed. So this is a professional way of starting a ham radio class. And your goal is to try and get kids on the air, or those class members. And the key is stuff. And I know Don, for your demos, you got a lot of stuff, right, Don?
Absolutely. Look, here, test equipment. I mean, this, the more things that you can have, the more eye candy you can have, the better. And, of course, the better you are, the more those CSCEs that your VE team is going to be filling out. And it's all about getting folks licensed so that we can have more folks on there. Look at that. Another satisfied customer, Gordon, and another one. It does my heart good to see the young folks, kids, getting more and more involved in amateur radios. Look at their stats here. Six classes taught, 64 students served, over 95% success rate. That is just an amazing success story, Gordon.
And, you know, one of the great ways of teaching ham radio that we do in our instructor academy is getting those students presenting as well as getting students on the air. And this coming Saturday is Kids Day. So your club to help grow ham radio, like the Nashaw Club is doing, is on the air getting kids operating as third party. And in some cases, these kids are licensed and they're going on the air. Tee hunting with a little tee hunt antenna is a great way to go. And kids can learn diction, learn proper etiquette of going on the air. And kids are great on computer logging. So if you're like me and not great on computer logging, turn it over to kids and they'll make it happen. And look at all of the topics that they do. And kids are fascinated with show and tell stuff. And you get that little microscope like they see at the CES show this week, and you can look at components all the way down to board level. So, Don, we think this is a great way to go. Soldering, huh, Don?
Absolutely. And here we go. Kit building. That's a great way to get someone's feet wet into electronics. And CW, just because it's not required anymore doesn't mean that it's not fun. In fact, that's going to be one of my 2017 resolutions, is to finally, get my CW proficiency up from near zero and get on the air with the code key that I bought at Dayton a few years ago. And contesting, wow. That's something that I want to get more involved in, too, is contesting. I want to do a little bit more of that this year. And, of course, getting in with your local club who does a lot of contesting. And if you're into DX, if you've got a DX club nearby, then that's a great way to get involved as well. But it's all about having important and interesting things that your club does to get the word out and get people interested in making them want to come to your events and to your club meetings and to get involved, Gordon. That's the whole thing, is getting people involved.
You bet. And you know, the American Radio Relay League, as well as the W5YI group, have lots of free materials that if you're registered as an instructor, they can get you, including band charts, and frequency maps, and things like that. And of course, everybody loves a certificate. To us, it's a piece of paper, but for kids or for new hams, even old hams, well, he's not old. Anyway, they love certificates. So we hope all of you will get your club involved and get behind students learning ham radio, get to a local VE session so when they graduate, you can get them turned on to your local club and you can help them program the radio. But your club can grow ham radio. And N1FD.org is a good website to go to. And we'd like to say, Fred, thank you for sharing this great video with us and getting kids on the air. And that's what this coming Saturday, Kids Day, is all about. So that's our story at this end. This coming Wednesday, a week from today, I hope to be here in the evening, because in the morning we're putting kids from 8 different schools down in the Quartzsite era, Arizona area, on the air with the International Space Station bright and early Wednesday morning. Wish us luck, and hopefully they'll hear us loud and clear. So, George, are you staying warm back there, and are you ready for the snow?
Well, I am staying warm, Gordo, and I'm ready for some. We don't get it here very often. It's a good chance we won't. You know, we're just kind of like right on the edge here. So maybe we'll see something. The problem we have here, though, is it could turn out to be ice rather than snow, and then you lose your power lines and you have trouble on your towers and all such as that. Speaking of troubles at the towers, boy, I've got a tale from the transmitter site for you this week. Monday was supposed to be a holiday because, you know, New Year's Day fell on Sunday, so everyone was getting Monday off. Well, one of my transmitter sites did not get that message, so the morning guy called me early Monday morning and he said the station's off the air. So I head out there. This particular one happens to be an AM station, a 50 kilowatt, located in a swamp. And the railroad has been replacing some tracks in the area. The railroad track is about a mile from the transmitter site. You cross over the track, and then you've got a muddy dirt road on the rest of the way. Well, they've been working on the crossing there, and they haven't completed it, and I couldn't drive over it. So I had to hike about a mile through the mud in rubber boots. I couldn't carry my tools, so I had to guess. I knew I had a screwdriver at the site, so I just put a pair of pliers and a pair of needle-nose pliers and my meter in my pocket and hoped that that would be all it would take. Well, I got there, and it had been, a lightning strike. Did I mention the thunderstorms? Well, there was a little break. When I got there, it had quit raining, so I was able to get in there without getting struck by lightning or rained on too much. It had been a lightning strike, and it had reset some gear in the rack. It had thrown a breaker, and the 50-kilowatt transmitter just wouldn't come on. You know, we're running a directional at night on this station, so there's three towers out there that switch in and operate at night, and then during the day, we switch back to just a single one, and, that one we feed the 50 kW to. Well, that had gotten stuck, so I could get it on the night power in directional, so I got that back on. And then I had to go hike out through the swamp, and it was more like wade. It wasn't as bad as I have seen it. It was only about a foot of water and mud that I had to go out to these three towers. Naturally, it's the last one you check that is the problem. And there's some contactors in there that have some finger stock and a little lever that slides up into it. And that's how the RF gets through. And then when you switch modes to, say, daytime, it pulls that apart and it goes over to another set of contacts. Well, these had arced shut from the lightning, so it wasn't moving. And that was my problem. So I had to fix that. So I spent my New Year's holiday trudging through the mud out in the swamp. I got through it, rained on me a couple of times. Fortunately, I didn't hear any thunder. I would have had to just quit because you don't want to work on a tower during lightning. Anyway, Marty Lane, I wish that Val was with us tonight to introduce this video. Marty Lane, OH2BH, is the de-expedition guy. He's in Finland, and he's a guy that goes out and he finds the island, finds out what country owns it, gets a license to be there, and sets up the teams to go do a lot of these de-expeditions. Here's a photo of Ramo OH2BCI, and I can't pronounce this, Perti OH2BEE, and Marty OH2BH. They are dressed, they're not Santa Claus, that's what you would think, but you know, that tradition began in Finland, and the correct pronunciation is Santa Claus. They do a major Christmas event every year on the air, and well, Marty sent us along a little bit of video from this year's event.
Hello CQ, hello CQ, Ocean Fox 9 X-ray, Ocean Fox 9 X-ray, Northern Finland, OF 9 X-ray. Okay, K1 VMT, you 5 and 9?
Also 5 and 9 here, also 5 and 9. Happy New Year's to you, and thank you very much for what you guys do there. I appreciate it very much. I'm sure a lot of people in the world enjoy it. OF9X from Kilo 1, Victor, Mike, Tango.
Okay, wonderful signal. You're 30 over 9 here, K1VMT. Thank you for the call, and Happy New Year to you as well. Ocean Fox 9 X-ray.
2,
okay, November Victor Hotel, you 5 and 9.
Victor Hotel.
Okay.
I'm still 5'9 in New York. Best of luck. Happy New Year.
Okay, into NVH 5 and 9 plus here into Northern Finland, okay?
Thank you very much. Best of luck.
Okay, I'm going up to 250. I'm moving up to 250. A gentleman on the frequencies, a lot of QRM here. I'm moving up to 250, 14250.
So there you go. That's a little bit of the Santa Claus action from Finland. They do that every year, and it's a real big European Christmas tradition. Well, Randy's back with us tonight. He has been working on some power cables again, and he's going to show us a little bit about the Anderson Power Pole connectors.
Hello, Randy, K7AGE. I'm going to make up a DC power extension cable. I thought it would be a good time to look at power pole connectors. Anderson Power Products manufactures the power pole connector. If you Google power pole connectors, you will find lots of search results, including a Wikipedia page that describes the power pole connector, and scrolling down, it talks about it being a de facto standard for amateur radio, Aries, and Racy's MCOM groups. And you can buy your power pole connectors at many places, including DX Engineering, PowerWorks, Quicksilver Radio, West Mountain Radio, and MFJ all offer power pole connectors and accessories. A good time to look for power pole connectors is at your local ham fest. You can buy kits of connector bodies and various pins. Here's bags of connectors with the different pin sizes. Here's the crimp tool, which is very popular. A display that shows the various body styles and that you can use in mounting. And these power distribution blocks are really handy to have. The power pole bodies come in different sizes for different current requirements. We're going to be using the bodies on the far right, which are good for 15, 30, or 45 amps. The bodies are also available in different colors. We will typically be using black and red for our negative and positive connection. The same connector can plug into itself, so this solves the problem of which connector goes on the power supply, which goes on the rig end. They're interchangeable and the same. The connector body will accept a 15, a 30, or 45 amp connector pin. Now, all the pins handle 45 amps, but what's different here is the gauge of wire that the pins will accept. Now, the pins may either be soldered or crimped, and if you select a crimp, it's best to buy one of these ratcheting style crimp tools. These are available in the $35 to $50 price range, depending on where you buy them, and the crimp tool will ensure that the connector is properly compressed and crimped and formed so it fits best in the plastic body. If you have a lot to do, crimping is the way to go. Invest in a good tool. Okay, let's take a look at the connector bodies. This is the rear side where the wires go in, and we flip it around, and here's the front side where we're going to see the pin when we plug it in. And the connectors have a tongue and a groove, which allows the connectors to mate together. So you can slide these together, and they can go in almost any order. You can have the red on the right, the red on the left. You know, you could have the red on the top and flip it around and have the red on the bottom. So, but there's one way we want to mate these two connector pieces together. And the way I remember it is red on right, and spin it around, and right up here at the top, you can see this A. So if I can read the A, so it's red and right, read A, and then slide the black next to it. So it just slides in, and now the two are together. So that's the correct orientation that we want to use. Again, read A, read on right, be able to read the A. Okay, here's a couple of the pins, and when they mate together, they're flipped around opposite each other. And so it pushes together and goes, bumps past the tongue there, and that's the mating section for the connector. So the connector pin will be inside the body in this orientation with the tongue, the curved side facing down. And if you look at it from the side view, it'll be like this. Okay, so it's time to put the pins on. So one of the things I'm going to do first is kind of cut the cable, split it apart here a little bit. So I'm just going to cut that with my side cutters and pull the two wires apart a little bit. And then I'll use my wire strippers and strip it back. And the amount we need to strip is basically this part of the connector. So it's about a quarter of an inch. So I'm going to go ahead and strip off about a quarter of an inch of the insulation. Okay, I have the three pins here. This is the first one is the 15 amp, and you can see the wire diameter is larger than the center of the pin, and it won't go on. That's the 15. This is the 45, and this would probably work. It's quite a bit large, and if I solder this, I have to bend the tabs over myself. So that's the 45, and here's the 30 amp pin. You can see that looks about right, and this slides over the wire easily. So we'll use the 30 amp pin. Okay, so I'm going to tin the wires for the ends that I'm going to solder into the pins. So I've twisted these together to make sure I don't have any dangling strands. And I'm just going to put a little solder on the iron and lay the iron alongside of the wire here and add some solder. And I just want to have enough to fill in the voids between the strands. I don't want a great big glob on there. Otherwise, it may get too thick to go onto or to fit inside the pin. So just a little bit on the side. I see it flowing through the strands of the copper. And that will do. If we think about this for a second, it'll make assembly of the connector a little bit easier. So the pin will be inside. Yeah, this is the correct orientation, A on right. I can read it. The pin will be inside like that. So when I go ahead to solder it, if I solder it in this direction with the red wire in this way, it'll go in better. It'll go in easier. I won't have to twist these around. So I want to have the black wire towards the right when I go ahead and solder this with the tongue facing down. Okay, I just flipped this over 180 degrees from what I just said to allow me to feed the solder in through the little opening here. So I'm just going to put just a tab on the iron here to help with the heat transfer. I want to keep the iron towards the wire end and feed it in from the pin end. And you do not want to get any solder on the contact area. So there it's flowing in, and since it's tinted, I can see it going up the crack there, and that should probably do. You also don't want to get a lot of solder on the outside of the pin, otherwise it may not go into the connector body properly. And now we're ready to solder the black pin. Get the heat towards the wire end, feed the solder in through the little opening here. Do not get any solder on the contact area. And since that's tinned, there's solder inside. And I think that should do. Let it cool down for a little bit, a few seconds, and it held. Okay, we're ready to push the pins into the connectors. As you can see, it'll go in this orientation, and soldering them on, I have them so they're pretty much ready to go. And when you push these in, you want to get them even, and you want to get them flat so they go in to the back here, flat and straight, and you push them in. And with the big wires, you can push them right on in. If they push these in now, and if we're lucky, we'll hear them go click. Click, click.
Bob's your uncle.
And those are now in. And the orientation is right. I can see the pin is all the way to the end. And that's in there nice and tight. And we have the soldered end completed.
Nice video, Randy. And yes, next week he's going, or I don't know if it'll be next week when he has the video finished, but the next video that he does on power poles, he's going to show how to use the crimpers. And I've got to say, if you're doing a lot of power poles, these crimpers aren't cheap, but they're probably worth the investment because they really make it go better. You know, I've tried crimping with other crimpers, and if you get those pins smashed around, it's really difficult to push them up into the shells there. So the right crimpers make a big difference on that. Thanks for that, Randy. We'll be looking for the next one. Well, I got something to give away tonight, and I don't have it right here with me. It's in my closet. What it is a DX Engineering silkscreen T-shirt. You've seen it before. It's black with the big DX Engineering logo on the front of it. A very comfortable T-shirt. You can find those at DX Engineering if you'd like one, or you can have a chance here to win one. I've got a question, and this comes from the general amateur radio pool. It is, what causes a voltage to appear across the secondary windings of a transformer when an AC voltage is connected across its primary windings? And your choices are A, capacitive coupling, B, displacement current coupling, C, mutual inductance, or D, mutual capacitance. So if you think you know what causes that voltage to go from the primary and make it over to the secondary, send your answer to me, hamnationcontest@gmail.com, and you could win that DX Engineering silkscreen T-shirt. Right now, let's get a message from one of our fine sponsors, ICOM, and we'll be right back.
Are you in need of a good New Year's resolution? How about improving your listening skills? ICOM has an array of radios to help you stick to your resolution all year long. Base stations, mobile transceivers, handhelds, and more, ICOM has all the equipment to make 2017 the best year yet. Coming soon, the ICR8600 will bring your listening skills to a new level. Start the new year right with this new communications receiver. Ultra-wide frequency coverage, real-time spectrum scope, and a large 4.3-inch color touchscreen display. Now available, the ID51A Plus 2 provides new models for extended D-Star coverage. Available in five colors, the ID51A Plus 2 allows you to listen wherever you go. Terminal and access mode, send and receive text messages and pictures, DVFast data mode, and easy FM repeater settings. Ideal for the contest or on the go, try the IC7300. It's a high-performance, innovative HF transceiver with a compact design. The real fun starts here. RF direct sampling, 15 discrete bandpass filters, large 4.3-inch color touchscreen, real-time spectrum scope, and SD memory card slot. Visit ICOMAmerica.com/amateur for more information on all the great ICOM radios.
And you can tune in and enter to win after each episode of Ham Nation. Go to ICOMAmerica.com/HamNation. Register to win some great swag prizes like T-shirts and hats. And while you're there, learn how you can win in the monthly grand prize drawing. Well, we had a winner, you know, for December. ICOM was giving away the ICOM ID51A Plus 2 dual band, dual watch, VHF, UHF handheld transceiver. With analog and D-Star, built-in GPS, a DV and FM repeater list functions, independent AM-FM receiver, there's a free Android app available, and a lot more. The December winner was Scott K3TLC. Congratulations, Scott. ICOM will be getting that handheld out to you right away. And we're going to do it again. We've got another one to give away for January. If you want the ICOM ID 51A Plus 2, well, go to icomamerica.com/hamnation after this and each episode of Ham Nation and register to win. Sign up, good luck, and don't forget to follow ICOM America Inc. on Facebook and Twitter. And now, it's not Santa Claus, but he's got on the right colors here. It's Dale.
Hey, George, thank you very much. I've got to give you credit. Amazing. I tell you what, are there snakes and alligators in that swamp? I was wondering.
There are definitely snakes out there. I didn't see any. I hope it was cold enough they've gone into hibernation. Alligators, I have not seen any. In the summer, it's dry out there, dry as a bone. But in the winter, it always stands in water. And there's evidence I can see where the water has stood for an extended period of time that 2, maybe 3 feet in some places out there when the beavers dammed it up. Fortunately, that wasn't the case, or I couldn't have gone out there Monday.
Well, that was an amazing story, George. I tell you, I don't know whether I'd want to wade through that water or not. That's something else. And it's probably a little chilly, too, as we approach the winter season here. Well, let's get with the videos tonight. We've got a video from John Amodeo, NN6JA. He's the producer of Last Man Standing. And the video features 10-year-old amateur extra class licensee Hope Leah operating HF from the set of the outstanding Tim Allen comedy Last Man Standing. The check-ins sounded like a net featuring the who's who of amateur radio.
3KA6LMS, QRZ.
Lima. You're at Tango Hotel.
Ending Lima.
Whiskey Yankee 7, Yankee Lima.
Oh, hi, Katie. Whiskey Yankee 7, Yankee Lima. You're 5-9. Last man standing set. Over.
Roger that. Hope you're sounding great. Thanks so much. You're 5-9 here in Wyoming. Have a great time, sweetie.
Okay, thank you, Katie, and 73KA6LMS.
Whiskey Yankee 7, Foxtrot Delta.
Whiskey Yankee 7, Foxtrot Delta. Hi, Dwayne. This is Hope. You're 5-9, last man standing. Set, over.
Hi, Hope. You're doing a grand job there. Say hi to your dad, and please say hi to John for me. 73WY7FD.
Okay, Daddy says hi. Thank you for the contact, 73. At QRZ, KA6LMS. Kilo Charlie 1, Charlie Whiskey Foxtrot, go ahead.
Okay, hi, Alpha. KC1, Charlie Whiskey Fox. You have a good signal. 5-9 here
into
Massachusetts. How you doing?
Okay, well, hi, and Daddy also says hi. Thank you for the contact, Marty 5-9. Last man standing set.
Good signal, 5-9, and hope to see you soon in Florida.
Kilo 0, Sierra Tango Hotel.
Kilo 0, Sierra Tango Hotel. Christian, you're 5-9. Last man standing set, over.
Roger that. Hope you're 5-7 coming into Missouri. I hope you're having a good time. Say hello to your family for me.
Okay, thank you for the contact, 73KA6LMS.
Come on, Zero.
Kilo 0, November station?
Yeah, Kilo 0, November Echo,
Kilo 4,
Alpha.
Kilo 0, November Echo, Bravo.
Roger, roger. Name is Joe. We're in Nebraska. I'm the Cat in the Hat guy. When you see me at Dayton, and I'll see you in Orlando. Hope have a great time.
Oh, okay. Daddy was just telling me about the kit we're going to build on the video, and right before you said it, he was telling me that you were the Cat in the Hat guy. Thank you for the contact, 73.
73 is so
QRZ, Kilo Alpha 6, Lima Mike Sierra.
Well, thanks, John, for sending in that video and letting us see the Kilo Alpha 6 Lima Mike Sierra operation firsthand. Hope, the operator there, earned her technician ticket when she was 8 years old and made a satellite contact 40 minutes after her call sign was registered. Wow. A year later, she was a general class operator, received the call sign Kilowatt Mike 4 India Papa Foxtrot. Then on June 20th last year, Hope received her extra class license, and I was 14 when I got my novice license. Hope's dad and Elmer is James WX4TV. He's the director of photography for the Lea Creative Group, which has offices in Orlando, Tampa, Jacksonville, and Daytona Beach. And the company's website is aptly named WeDoEpicTV.tv. The Leah family lives in Deland, Florida. Well, our next video, we got to get ready for. It's living proof that winter is here, and that winter alone cannot stop determined amateur radio operators. And they'll prove it again on the 28th and 29th this year during Winter Field Day. That's spearheaded by Tom Phelps, WD8MBE, and the Winter Field Day Association. Corey Klumper, N0ECK, captured the frozen action near Russell, Minnesota last year. We've got an ATV SysOp alert now. You can drop the audio track for this entire video. There are no words. No words are needed. With an image worth 1,000 words and the hundreds of images in this 4-minute video, it would be a book. Again, this year's Worldwide Winter Field Day set to kick off on the 28th and 29th of January, waiting to give daring amateur radio operators a chance to hone their skills and in challenging environments. And their stated purpose is to foster ham camaraderie, field operation, emergency operating preparedness, and just plain on-the-air outdoor fun in the midst of winter in a tent on a frozen lake. The association's website says, don't let winter doldrums get you down. Get out and play some radio. And if you accept the challenge, check out the rules at winterfieldday.com. And with that, we're out of time to play TV, so we better pack up this puppy, send it down to Picayune, where Don, 85DW, is waiting with Newsline, and I think he also is waiting with a DX Engineering catalog, I just bet you. Right now, Happy New Year, Don. Welcome to 2017.
Thank you, Little Red Ridingham. Hey, who got their DX Engineering gift cards for the holidays? Raise your hand. Well, I didn't get any, but I got a lot of cool stuff. I got cigars, and I got all kinds of stuff, but I didn't get any DX Engineering gift cards. So if you got some, pay attention, because I'm going to school you one time on here's how they work. The DX Engineering gift cards are accepted online, by phone, or by mail. You can redeem them for the entire face value or just part of it. They're available anywhere from $25 all the way up to $500 to make it easy for you. Now, what can you use them on? Well, pretty much anything. How about the new Geochron World Ham Radio Clock? Oh, yes. This is the Geochron clock that has been around for a long time, which has, of course, geography, 12, 24-hour local time, sunrise, sunset, all the time zones, sun movement, latitude, longitude, all the stuff that you've been used to. But it's got some new stuff on there. You'll see this on all the top-level DX stations and contester stations and also in a lot of government buildings and broadcast newsrooms. But DX Engineering worked with Geochron to develop a new version tailored specifically to the amateur radio community. These include details like CQ zones and country prefixes. It's 3 feet by 2 feet. It's a big piece of wall furniture. You're going to love it. Black vinyl or black anodized aluminum to fit with any decor. You can also outfit your shack with genuine accessories from ICOM, Kenwood, Yaesu, Elenco. Every radio manufacturer makes a wide range of microphones, speakers, and modules to make using the radio even more enjoyable. And since they're made by the OE manufacturer, you know they're going to fit and function perfectly. And they're all available at dxengineering.com in the station accessories section. Also, Phonema speakers and speaker upgrade kits. That is an exclusive to DX Engineering. They give you audio file grade reproduction perfectly matched to ham radio's unique audio qualities. Standalone speakers. If you've already got a favorite desktop speaker, you can retrofit it with a speaker-specific kit. You run an SDR. Phonema speakers are an excellent alternative to the tinny, harsh computer speakers. And they look great, too. An excellent aesthetic and oral complement to any base station setup. And let me tell you something. Speaker makes all the difference. I tried to run some computer speakers on mine with a subwoofer, and it was too bassy. It was too boomy. I couldn't understand anything. So I unplugged it, and it actually the stock speaker sounded better than that stuff. So you need to run a communications-type speaker, and the Phonema is a great way to go. I want you to go to dxengineering.com and look around, because you know DX Engineering ships faster than anybody else in the industry. Get your order in by 10 p.m. Eastern. If it's in stock, and chances are it will be, it'll be on a trek headed your way tonight. Proven products, expert advice, DX Engineering. Shrink the globe. Request your catalog or shop online 24/7, 365 at dxengineering.com/hamnation. If you ever have a problem, you call up DX Engineering. You will talk to experts in amateur radio. You're going to talk to people who know what you're talking about, because they're hams too. So thank you, DX Engineering, for your support of Ham Nation. We look forward to continuing our partnership with you here in 2017. And speaking of a great partnership, our little partnership with Dr. Tamitha Scove continues, and we've got her on tonight's Amateur Radio Newsline headlines. From Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2044, these are the Ham Nation headlines for Wednesday, January 4th, 2017. We begin this week's report with an update on amateur involvement in the deadly Super Typhoon Nock 10, a deadly Category 4 storm that raged through the Philippines at Christmas, killing at least six and stranding thousands.
The Philippines Amateur Radio Association activated its HAM Emergency Radio Operations Network at the approach of the storm, which caused mudslides, flooding, and power interruption in five provinces. The HAMs kept communications open using both HF and VHF radios as the storm made landfall repeatedly. Authorities tuned in to the emergency net where amateurs sent them damage reports. Our thoughts are with them all as the nation begins the recovery process.
Neil Rapp, WB9VPG reporting. Just because the National Parks on the Air program has ended doesn't mean there's no reason to go out into the field and operate. There's always PR, emergency practice, and, well, just for the fun of it.
The Queen Creek Amateur Radio Club is hoping for maximum participation by radio amateurs and maximum engagement with visitors during its public park event on January 7th in Mesa, Arizona. The club is calling it Radio Under Sunshade and also Radio in the Park. And there are two locations where club members will be operating at portable stations. Dennis, KF7RYX, will be at the Ballfield Pavilion behind the Queen Creek West Stakes Center near Hawes Road and Ocotillo Road. Doug, WB7TUJ, will be in Emerald Park in Mesa. According to the club, this isn't just a demonstration, but an open invitation to anyone interested in trying out ham radio and even getting on the air. Hams will be on 2 meters simplex as well as 40 meters, trying to make as many contacts as possible using solar and other off-the-grid power. Visitors are welcome to join them from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. local time. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Mike Askins, KE5-CXP.
There are some changes coming to the Boy Scout Radio Merit Badge program in 2017.
This week in Radio Scouting, we have updates to the Radio Merit Badge program to announce. A big new addition to the Radio Merit Badge is a new option of amateur radio direction finding. This combines orienteering and fox hunting and opens a new interactive component to this program. Cellular telephone topics have been added and different types of radio modulation have been included. Key requirement changes were dropping open, closed, and short circuits, as well as schematic symbols and components, as these are covered in the electricity and electronics merit badges. Other revisions include minor edits and reordering of requirements in the amateur radio option. Radio broadcasting option now includes internet streaming, regulations, and power levels. Medium wave and shortwave listening option includes both types of listening, as well as listening via streaming services on your smartphone. These updates will take effect in 2017, and those scouts working on the previous set of requirements generally can finish them up the same year. For this and more information on K2BSA and radio scouting, please visit www.k2bsa.net. For Amateur Radio Newsline and the K2BSA Amateur Radio Association, this is Bill Stearns, NE4RD.
Finally this week, Christmas is over and the results are in. Santa is more popular than ever on ham radio.
The 3916 Nets, which run the annual Santa Net connecting youngsters to the voice of Santa on ham radio, reports that 426 stations and 656 children spoke to the Big Elf this year. According to Pete Thompson, KE5GGY, the stations were from all over the U.S. and into Canada. Best of all, the number represents an increase of 54% over the check-ins in 2015. No doubt this gives the SantaNet operators and even folks at the North Pole a lot of ho-ho hope for Christmas next year. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jim Dameron, N8TMW.
For the rest of this week's Amateur Radio News, please listen to the full Amateur Radio Newsline report online on a repeater near you or on shortwave radio station WTWW at 9930 and 5085 kilohertz. And that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline, your independent source for amateur radio news for four decades and counting at www.arnewsline.org. With Neil Rapp, WB9VPG, Mike Askins, KE5CXP, Bill Stearns, NE4RD, Jim Dameron, N8TMW, Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team across the globe, I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW. 7-3, Happy New Year, and we'll see you next time here on Ham Nation. Now, here's the solar update with Dr. Tamitha Scove.
We've had some amazing solar storming over the holiday break, including some gorgeous aurora over New Year's, and we're set to have yet another solar storm. Those stories and more in the news this week. Welcome to 2017, everyone. We've had some amazing solar storming over the holiday season that's even lasted into the new year, and now we have a new coronal hole that's rotating into the Earth's strike zone that should bring us more aurora and continue the holiday festivities. Switching to your M-Flare threat meter, you can see things continue to be extremely quiet. We did have a couple flares that popped near the C-class level back around the 27th, but that died down very quickly, and things continue to be very quiet. This is good news for you GPS operators who want things to be really, really quiet for good operation. But you amateur radio operators, you need that solar flux level to be up a bit higher. So you're kind of struggling right now getting enough ionization in the upper atmosphere to allow for signal propagation, and unfortunately, this trend is going to continue. Switching to our solar storm conditions, you can see we did have some activity back starting before Christmas that kind of lingered in through that holiday. Then things began to quiet back down and then picked up again through New Year's. And both of these storms have brought some gorgeous aurora, not huge shows, mind you, and not down to really low latitudes, but still some pretty aurora nonetheless through the holidays, and we are gearing up for some more. So what else does the sun have in store for us this week? Well, this is Stereo A. It's our backside monitor. You can see here's Earth, here's the sun, and here's Stereo A staring at the sun from behind. And you can see the sun is pretty sleepy right now on the backside. We have one active region that's rotating back into Earth view right about now. It might bring us a little elevated solar flux, but probably not any solar storms. Outside of that, we really don't have much. We got a tiny little coronal hole that's probably not even going to make it to Earth view. And then we've got another one that's just now rotating onto the backside. Outside of that, we do have an active region that is growing on the backside right now, but we'll see how it continues to unfold. Switching to our solar storm conditions and aurora possibilities over the coming week, we are anticipating that high-speed wind hitting us from that coronal hole that's rotating into the Earth strike zone. So NOAA is anticipating about a 65% chance of a major storm at high latitudes starting around the 4th and the 5th. Now, mid-latitudes, we're only expecting about active conditions with about a 30% chance of a minor storm. But these conditions will continue possibly in through the weekend because of the shape of this weird coronal hole that's giving us this fast wind. So you amateur radio operators, expect to have some issues easily through the weekend if you're planning contests that could be impacting as this high-speed wind begins to wane. As far as your aurora photographers go, you do get another chance for some aurora. I don't know how strong this particular storm is going to be, but it should be at least as good as the last ones we've had. Switching to your solar flare and particle radiation storm outlook over the coming week, of course, everything is in the green when it comes to solar flares. That's the way it's been for a while, and that's the way it's going to continue. Of course, the solar flux is still marginal, so you amateur radio operators, you're still struggling. So the space weather this week continues to be active because of the fast wind from these coronal holes. So you aurora photographers, don't put your cameras down yet because we have yet another chance for aurora in through the weekend. Now, you amateur radio operators, you're just going to have to keep struggling while this solar storm blows through. You may have some really interesting contacts, especially in the gray line, because propagation gets to be kind of magic in those regions during these solar storms. But outside of that, you're going to have some issues because of the storming and also because the solar flux is low. You GPS operators, on the other hand, should be loving life because the flare continues to be completely quiet. We don't have any issues there. Just make sure you stay out of the auroral zones when you want to be flying your drones or piloting anything through GPS. I'm Tamitha Scove. Thank you for watching.
All right. Nice to have Dr. T back with us for the solar update for the first Ham Nation of 2017. We're running late. She's looking great. Amanda, you're looking great. Let's get into the chat room and see what's going on.
See? Happy New Year, everybody. All right. Sorry, I just had to do that. You know me. All right. I do have first one announcement. WB6JOE, his wife's birthday, Gail, is today. She's also got a call, KK6PDB. So happy birthday there, Gail. And Gordo, the first question is for you. They wanted to know, when you were referring to doodads during the Loop Project, what doodads were you talking about?
The doodad, Amanda, is that part of the loop that has a little doodad hanging right here on the tuning unit. And it's confidential as to what's inside, but I'm told that it will compensate for allowing a ham to put in more power, up to about 50 or 60 watts on sideband into the larger loop and not have it blow or arc over the capacitor. I think what it is additional capacitance, much like you see on some of the add-on capacitors to the loop. So the add-on, you'll have to check with the chameleon antennas and see if we can get the official word once it clears patent. Over.
Okay, that sounds good. And my next question is for Don. Nice to see you. And when you were at your company party, we missed a question specifically for you, and I think it's because you might have the answer to this. Maybe.
Okay.
So someone had been asking about some youth nets, and I know that you were close with Abby and Kendra, and you might remember what EchoLink net they were hosting for youth. Yeah. Or maybe some other ones out there that are available for people to get their kids to join in on.
Okay. If you go to EchoLink and you search for W5DDL, I don't remember the EchoLink node off the top of my head, but that's the repeater in Lafayette, Louisiana. Whiskey 5 Delta, Delta Lima. And as a matter of fact, I had a visitor at work today. Abby came to see me at work today. She happened to be in New Orleans, and she made a Facebook post, and I said, hey, you're not too far from my office. She said, well, no kidding. I said, yeah. I said, why don't you stop by? So she did, and we visited for about an hour and a half and just had a great time, took her and gave her a tour of the radio ranch, which, of course, you know, she's like, oh, hey, that's great. No, we had a great time, and it was a lot of fun. So it was good to see Abby. Did not see Kendra. Kendra was still back in Lafayette. But anyway, that's it. W5DDL on EchoLink, and it's on Thursday nights at 7 Central, 7:30 Central, one of the two. But
okay, and I'm sure it's listed there on EchoLink.
Yeah,
so
it is
great. Thank you. Well, I'm glad that you got to see Abby. That's great.
Me too.
At least those test tones weren't still going out from the room across the hall from you. Let's see. What else do I have? Oh, yeah. So, George, I bet you could probably – actually, I don't know if any of you could answer this. None of you are by frozen ponds ever. Anyhow, Kevin, K4IVE wants to know, did that frozen lake on the winter field day give the same ground plane as liquid water? George, what do you think?
Well, I would think, yeah, it probably did, but – Gordo probably doesn't know a lot about ice either, but he knows about water. What do you think, Gordo?
Well, I think certainly it would add to the ground plane effect, although I'm not sure that the ice would have quite the consistency of the actual lake water that's frozen over. So probably almost as good as, but because the ice has all sorts of air in between it, maybe not quite the conductivity, but let me tell you, putting that antenna system out on that frozen lake or a ground plane, yahoo!
Probably they probably drilled a through hole and put the ground wire all the way through into the liquid water, I would think.
You're going to be careful how much power you run on that, too. I wouldn't want to melt it.
No, you want to heat stuff up, do you?
Mm-hmm.
No, that wouldn't be any fun at all.
Imagine we have a good time New Year's Eve.
I had a blast on New Year's Eve. It was so much fun to actually sit here and watch Jeff actually talk. Of course, it took him a couple drinks, but he can really talk some repeater chat, you guys. If you ever have any repeater questions, send them to me and I'll put Jeff on the show to ask them and answer them, because he is really if you want to know something about a duplexer, service monitor, a networked repeater system, he's your go-to guy. So anyhow, it was a lot of fun, though. It was fun to actually talk to Mike, too, VE3MIC, and Peter there. And I didn't get to see any of your other guests. I watched it here and there, but it was a lot of fun. So thanks, George, for having us on.
Well, thank you all for being on. You know, we told Jeff he was going to have to talk. What we did is streaming live episode of Amateur Logic on New Year's Eve. We started around 9 Central and went to just after midnight. We had, well, like Amanda said, VE3MIC Mike on there, Dan N9LVS, the guy who does the wiki for Ham Nation and the other shows. Well, Peter, of course, VK3PP from Melbourne. Who else am I missing? Well, of course, Amanda.
There was someone at Disneyland.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Emil. Cheap old man, KE5 QKR. Yeah, he was at reporting live from Disneyland. And Ray Novak was down there, but we couldn't find him. Had a really good time, though. And Boy, it's available for download now. We had to split it into three shows because, you know, it was a little over 3 hours. But Amanda, tell Jeff, thank you. I feel like I know a lot more about repeaters now than I did when I got here.
Well, good. And, you know, those things are on your tests, but do you actually pay attention to them? No, not unless you are a repeater person, and then you do. So thank you, George, for the opportunity. It was fun to see Jeff get to talk about some stuff that he enjoys quite a bit. Before I send it back to, I think you, George, I'm going to talk about our nets tonight. We have the EchoLink Dew Drop In net, also the D-Star 14 Charlie net. The HF 7180 is where they're at. You guys look there, and if you hear QRM or something, look up and down. And new for this week, we have the DMR net. So that's on TAC 311. So it looked like they had already had 9 check-ins already. So join in there. And I think DMR is an interesting, if you're used to D-Star, and I know I'm going a little long-winded here, but if you listen to D-Star and its digital voice and stuff, DMR is pretty close to the same thing. I like to chalk it up to maybe having about 3 drinks. That's kind of what it does to your voice. It sounds like you might be a little slurry, maybe not. anyhow, it is. It's fun to listen to everyone. Just check those audio levels, you guys. With all the new DMR-capable radios out there, I cannot express enough how sometimes one audio is really, really, really quiet, and then the next one's blowing your ears out. So just pay attention to everyone's and kind of check and get into check with their gains and keep them the same. So that's all I have, you guys. Great questions tonight, and Happy New Year, everyone. I'll send it back to you, George, to wrap it up.
Okay. Happy New Year, Amanda. Appreciate you being here with us tonight. And, boy, we'll have to do something next New Year's. This was so much fun. Well, Gordo, any final words from the left coast tonight?
No final words. I love the loop. The chameleon antenna loop is working great, even inside the shack here. And I turn up the volume and I crank the loop. That's resonance at its best. Back to you, George. See you next week.
Okay, Gordo. Have fun resonating there. Don from the South Coast, anything?
No, just I'm happy that Oklahoma won the Sugar Bowl, so I was thrilled about that. I'm getting ready to fire up the 5100 here and get on 14 Charlie and check into the D-Star net. So other than that, that's about it from down here close to the Gulf.
Okay. All right. Appreciate everyone being with us tonight. We had a great time, a great way to start out 2017. I believe Bob Heil will be back with us next week. So join us next Wednesday night for another exciting episode of Ham Nation 73.